Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, you start. This is BFN, the myth-busting podcast for those going through infertility and IVF. I'm Gabby.
And I am Emma.
We're here to answer those questions you Google at 3 a.m. Does eating pineapple make your womb sticky?
Does acupuncture actually do anything?
And has anyone ever actually managed to just relax? Okay, so here we are. Welcome to the podcast.
We are both journalists and we have both been trying to conceive for, between us, several years. And we have just got really frustrated, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who's been trying for a baby for, you know, a year or so knows how frustrating it is. And I think we're just trying to channel that frustration into something that might actually help other people.
So as most people who've been trying for a baby for a really long time know, BFN, it's my worst fear. It stands for big fat negative, and it's what I get on every pregnancy test I ever take.
Same.
The plan with this podcast, you know, the plan is to get experts in to kind of debunk as many myths as we can using science and actual facts.
Science.
Rather than the things that people say on forums, which is the source of most of our information.
Oh,
right?
God, yeah. And we're also going to tell you a little bit about our stories, where we're at, as we're both at very different times in our fertility journeys.
We are.
I hate that word, sorry.
Our journey. They're so great.
So, yeah, we're going to tell you a little bit about us and then try and bust some myth.
The other thing to say is that we are going to have a segment every week that we call Old Wives Tales, which is literally taking those rumours that you read on forums and trying to figure out whether there's any truth in them at all. So if you have any myths that you'd like debunking, please do email us. We've got a Twitter account, which is at Big Fat Negative.
Or you could email us at bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, so get in touch. Off with Gabs. How has your week been?
My week has been okay. I've been mostly dealing with my own inner monologue about whether or not my period is about to come. Classic. So obviously my mind is going to overdrive. Is that spotting? Is that implantation bleeding? Is it just my period? So I've had one of those weeks really, and I still don't have an answer, so don't get too excited. But yeah, I've just been doing a lot of Googling and just trying not to think about it, which, as everyone knows, is absolutely impossible.
The tiny voice in your head has been very active.
Oh, totally. Uh-huh. How about you?
Well, so I'm getting ready for my second frozen embryo transfer in a couple of weeks. The first one didn't work out. That sucked. I went to see a fertility nutritionist this week. I am not a subscriber to the clean eating craze.
Boring.
I think it's all bollocks. But she had some really interesting stuff to say. Suffice it to say, I'm putting blueberry powder on everything right now. I'm not allowed my lovely latte that I have every morning, but I am allowed to drink coffee,
A
little bit.
Okay, that's good.
And from today onwards, I'm banned from wine, but I am going to drink wine today.
Oh, please, yeah, that'd be great.
So, yeah, basically eating a lot of salad right now. That's been my week.
Okay. Yeah. Were there any other things that she highlighted that were...
You know, things like eat protein, kind of organic was a big kind of watchword with her, which, again, I'm like I was always a bit suspicious of, but the way she puts it makes sense. The other thing is something called BPAs, and if you kind of Google it, there's been a lot of studies done on these. It's an ingredient in plastics. Unfortunately, it's an ingredient in almost everything that we use.
Mm.
So trying to figure out how I can ban BPAs from my life is going to be quite a challenge.
Plastics are, they keep coming up. I think you said it during the week, and then I listened to another podcast called Science-ish.
Ooh.
Have you listened to that?
No.
It's Rick Edwards of T4 fame.
Cool.
With a chap called Dr. Michael Brooks, who is, I think, editor-at-large at The New Scientist. And they take one movie each week, and they speak to scientists about whether the plot of the said movie would be possible.
Okay.
And they were talking about Children of Men,
which
is based on the P.D. James novel, and whether or not, fertility could be at risk. And what they found was that actually, rather than female fertility, which is the kind of core plot of the Children of Men movie, it's actually men's fertility that is dropping.
Oh.
And sperm counts have dropped 59% in the last 40 years.
That is what the nutritionist lady said.
Yeah, and it could be down. Sorry, I did. It's not. I'm not digressing. It could be down to plastics. That was one of the things they were talking about.
So, I guess watch out for those BPAs, but also don't think that we're experts.
I mean, I'm not drinking fizzy water anymore. I've banned it.
Oh, shit.
I know, it's a nightmare. I also saw during the week that a new female health app called Ava raised, I think, £30 million. And I just think I'm quite excited about the explosion of female health apps.
Okay.
But I'm also a bit reticent to start using them.
Well, I have found, you know, we've all been through the, like, ovulation testing our temperature kind of thing. And it does make your head go a bit nuts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you've done that as well.
Yes, I have. I used to use Natural Cycles and I stopped.
An app, right?
It is. It's an app where you take your basal temperature every morning and it just tracks and tells you, eventually, once you've put it in enough, tells you when you've ovulated and helps you to kind of gauge when your fertile window is. But I think we're starting every day with a reminder of what I was up to was just a bit too much for me. I think I had to stop.
Yeah. So, you know, fun one.
Yeah.
We thought we'd just talk a little bit about what our stories are. So, Gabby, tell me about you. Where are you on your journey?
On my journey, my magical journey to not having any babies. Well, I got married this time last year, so I've been trying for a year. And I guess, I mean, like anyone, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. And we've recently had the kind of first round of exploratory fertility tests.
Ooh,
how exciting.
Tell me about those.
Ooh. So I've had two blood tests. The first one kind of comes at day like 23 of your cycle to make sure that you're ovulating. And the other one came on day 2 of my cycle or my period. And that was testing for all sorts of different hormones just to make sure that I was producing eggs, etc. And the results came back and they just said normal. I don't know what normal means. Like normal for my age, normal for someone who's 33, or just normal for everyone. I don't know.
I feel like in the US, like from what I have read on the forums, well, the women there have a lot more kind of information and data about it. So if you're going through infertility treatment on the NHS, you will find that people just say things like, yeah, you're fine. Whereas in the US, they're like, oh, well, my hormones were at this level. Mm. And so that's something to change your expectations for.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping when I actually go in, because that was just calling up to get the results from, I imagine, a secretary. I'm hoping when I go in, they might give me some more information, but who knows? And my husband has had his semen sample taken, but that wasn't without its own dramas either, because the first time he went in, basically, you know, when you see this kind of thing on films and on telly, they get, you know, the guy goes into a room in a hospital that's got like lots of nice porno mags in it and stuff, and they do the do and the sample is taken and that's that, but not here. My husband was told to basically produce his sample at home, and then he had to race all the way from Southeast London to St. Thomas's Hospital, all the while keeping it warm. In fact, they did give instructions to warm the cup up before producing the sample.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, I mean, there's just so many variables. Like,
so romantic as well.
So romantic. Yeah. And the first time he had to do this, not only was that stressful enough, the first time he had to do it, he went to the hospital and took it to the wrong floor and gave it to the wrong person. So some poor, unassuming nurse got my husband's semen sample, and funnily enough, we didn't get any results. So he's had to do it again, and we're still waiting for those results. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's always, to be honest, we have always worried a little bit about his fertility, just because he had mumps when he was in his early 20s, and that mumps went to one of his testicles.
Aww.
And he tells this really lovely story about how his testicle was the size of a lemon, and it would like swing like a pendulum between his legs when he was walking to the loo.
Aww.
And it was very sore. It sounds
awful. Mr. Gabby.
I know, it sounds terrible. So yeah, we're kind of just waiting for those results, really, I suppose.
Okay. And how, I mean, have you found that the people around you have been supportive, or have you had kind of trouble with people telling you to relax?
Well, I would say everyone has told me to relax, which, you know, I think it's important to say that everyone has obviously got your best interests at heart and doesn't want to say anything that is unhelpful. But I think because no one really knows what to say, really, everyone kind of reaches for the cliches, and you know, maybe you should just relax is certainly up there with one of the cliches. And it's, you know, it's quite frustrating. Anyone who's done, you know, been through this knows that it's impossible to just relax. And you are relaxed. I am relaxed.
You're a chill person.
I'm just, because I'm talking about it doesn't mean I'm not relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been an interesting year, but you know, I've had support.
Okay.
So yeah, let's find out a little bit about you.
Me.
Yeah,
the things I've been through.
Where to start?
So I have a really great situation where me and my husband both have our issues. So we are kind of Monica and Chandler in that respect.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I had appendicitis as a child, which developed into peritonitis, which is like an infection of your abdominal sac. It left me with loads and loads of scarring on my fallopian tubes, which basically made them impassable, like a mountain road in the winter.
Oh dear.
And my other half has a chromosomal disorder called Robertsonian translocation. In a way, it's a perfect storm for us because it means we get a lot of funding for a lot of rounds of IVF. We get 3 full rounds, so that means, well, according to the consultant, we get 3 full rounds, which means me having my eggs taken out and then having all the resulting embryos put back in 3 times, which is, I mean, that's like rounds and rounds and rounds, which is great. Most people aren't as lucky as me. Is that the right word?
I think most people get 1 round on the NHS, don't they?
So we're very lucky in that front. So I've had two laparoscopies, which have resulted in both my fallopian tubes being blocked off. I still get the little voice in my head saying you could be pregnant if my period's late.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, God.
I have had one. I've had my eggs collected. So that happened last September. That ended up with 5 healthy embryos. I had one embryo transferred in December. I did not have a baby from that. And now I'm working up towards my second embryo transfer. I'm doing I think they call it a supported cycle or a semi-medicated cycle,
okay.
Which means if you are having an embryo transfer, anyone who's had a frozen embryo transfer, you tend to start off with some drugs at the beginning. I had Buserelin last time. So we went to a wedding in October where I had to sniff these drugs 4 times a day.
I was there, I can confirm she did.
Yeah, it was really unattractive. And then you start with the progesterone suppositories.
Oh, wow.
Which are gross, really gross.
Fun for you.
Yeah. And so this time I'm not doing the Buserelin at all. I'm just doing the progesterone. And that is, it's kind of an aid for your body. So it just produces... It helps your body to produce progesterone, which helps it to build a good womb lining. So, fingers crossed for that.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And going back slightly, when did you find out that your fallopian tubes were impassable? I think you were, at what point? How long have you been trying at that point?
So I've been trying for 6 months when that happened, and you're supposed to wait a year, but I just knew there was something. I knew there was something wrong, so I just went to the doctor and said, look, I've been trying, it's really doing my head in. And my GP was really, really kind, referred me for all the tests that Gabby just talked about. And then I had some slightly more dramatic tests. So an HSG, which is essentially they shoot dye into your uterus.
Yeah, I've heard about this one.
Yeah, up into your fallopian tubes. Mm. It's not a comfortable experience.
No.
I've had two of those now. The first one was uncomfortable. The second one was horrendous.
Right.
So I guess it depends who's doing it. Luck of the draw.
Oh, gosh. That might be my next one, I guess.
Yeah,
I look forward to that.
I would say take some paracetamol first.
Oh, thanks. Good tip.
Yes. So they shot some dye into my fallopian tubes and realised that the dye wasn't going all the way up. So then they were like, maybe there's something wrong. So then I had a deeper investigation called a laparoscopy, which was a camera being shoved into my fallopian tubes. Mm. And then they discovered something called a hydrocele pinx, which is where it's basically gone so rank and stagnant that it's kind of swelled full of stagnant water. I think that's a good layman's description. and
got
so
some visuals.
They shut it down.
Oh.
They shut it down.
Shut that down.
Yeah. And then a year later, they did the same thing with the other tube, which was annoying because they could have done that a year earlier as well, but whatever.
Oh, so how long have you been trying in total?
Now it's just over 2.5 years.
Okay.
I don't know, am I positive? I'm trying to be positive.
Hard to be positive sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think you kind of have to be, but I mean, I know me this morning, I woke up, I thought my period had started and I just felt... More than anything, obviously the usual disappointment, but also just felt a bit stupid for having been hopeful again, you know? I was like, oh, God, I can't believe I thought I could have been pregnant again. And it's just, you feel a bit, you know, like your body's tricking you every month.
Yeah, it sucks.
And, and often, like, you're losing your mind.
Yeah.
Which is great. Oh, my boob's sore.
Yeah.
Do I have a metallic taste in my mouth? I read that somewhere. Oh, just Google it again.
Are my nipples a little bit darker than usual?
Oh, I think they might.
Did you ask Mr. Gabby? Were you like, my nipples are a bit darker?
Oh, no, I didn't go for the darker one. I hadn't heard that one. You've just added another one to my list.
It's a fun one. So John's like, shut up.
No.
They're not darker, all right. Just take a fucking pregnancy test.
Yeah, Mr. Gabby was like, are your boobs, you look like, you know, your boobs sore. I was like, yes, they are, but don't think about it. oh, God, it's so frustrating. Time for our regular segment, Old Wives Tales, Fact or Fiction. And up this week for interrogation is drinking raspberry leaf tea, which is something that actually Emma introduced me to.
Oh, I'm so glad that I introduced you to that.
I remember I rang you once and you said, are you drinking raspberry leaf tea? And I said, no. And actually, I still haven't, so I haven't taken your advice.
Well, pal, I've got some in the cupboard. So after we've done this, we'll have a steaming cup of useless tea that tastes a bit like Pond.
Fantastic. Lovely. Mm. So I've had a little read around on mummy forums to see what everyone's saying about raspberry leaf tea. And it seems that a lot of people are a bit confused. So
what? Confusion? Infertility?
I know. What?
Mental.
Yellow Flowers on Mumsnet says, anyone heard of raspberry leaf tea? I was moaning about my lack of TTC success to an older friend with three grown-up kids and she swore by raspberry leaf tea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mita says, in German-speaking countries, raspberry leaf tea is said to be good for pre-ovulation and ladies' mantle for post-ovulation. Smiley winky face.
Ah,
that's helpful. Thanks, yeah. Peter. then we've got Peace Chief. I've been drinking organic raspberry leaf tea too, and I've heard that it helps fertility. But recently I read that it's shown to sometimes cause or increase, sorry not to be more certain about this, uterine contractions. So it's not to drink it while you're pregnant. So at the moment I'm rather confused. Aren't we all, mate?
So we've all been one of those women before, and we've all spent ages trying to figure out what's going to help us conceive. We spoke to Professor Tim Child, great name for the situation, by the way.
Loving that.
He's a medical director at Oxford Fertility. We asked him to tell us what he thinks of those rumours.
Professor Tim, great to have you on the show. So the first myth that we'd like you to debunk is whether or not drinking raspberry leaf tea aids conception.
It's an interesting one that I remember when I used to do obstetrics back in the 1990s in Oxford, there was quite a... The midwives were certainly very pro sort of natural health, and raspberry leaf tea was quite widely used then actually to try and help induce labour in women who were overdue. I certainly within Oxford it's fallen out of fashion over the last 20-25 years or so, so it's not really used, it's not, as far as I'm aware, it's not used in labour ward anymore. But there are some studies suggesting that raspberry leaf tea sort of helps stimulate uterine contractility. So in terms of it being used to try and help women conceive, I did a check through the huge database of sort of medical studies that have been done involving any sorts of drugs. I couldn't find anything published on it at all in terms of raspberry leaf tea or raspberry leaf extracts and fertility. And everything is very much just sort of out there on the internet, just people are writing about it, but I can't actually find any evidence behind it at all. It's known that if it's taken during pregnancy, it can affect the sugar levels, for instance, in women. So the care needs to be taken in women if they're taking it during pregnancy. Studies have been done in rats looking to see what the effects of raspberry leaf tea are around the time of conception. And I can only find one study published, but it showed that it can actually have some potentially negative effects even in the offspring. Now, those are in rats, and those are probably doses that we wouldn't use in, that people wouldn't actually be drinking. But in the end, it's something that, it's not a licensed drug. We don't know what the effects of it are. And so I think people taking it maybe up until the time of conception if they want to, but again, I'm not aware of any evidence of it improving conception. But certainly I think once conception is occurring, and particularly during pregnancy, and I think people need to be careful with it.
So I guess best left alone?
I think it's best left alone around the time of pregnancy. And obviously if people are drinking it all the way through trying to conceive, and by drinking it, I've probably been drinking quite a lot of it, it clearly has some effects, because it has been shown to affect the uterus in pregnant women, sugar levels in pregnant women, and maybe have some effects in rats as well. So I wasn't able to find any evidence at all or any data at all suggesting that it improves fertility rates, and so I'll just be a bit wary about that, I think.
Brilliant, that's great. Thank you so much, Professor Tim. We will speak to you soon.
This has been episode 1 of BFN. If you want to hear what happens next, you'll have to tune in next week.
Yeah.
For now, stay safe, happy babying, and don't let the mum's neck get you in the night.
Yes.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.